Jerry.
Sign fuck.
I think methamphetamine is probably the funniest drug, if I had to pick one.
Okay, why? Why?
No, well, take a guess.
Because,
are we recording, by the way?
Yeah
we're recording.
I know. Yeah. But meth's a fun drug, it feels like.
It's the funniest one for sure. I would say it's the funniest because, A, you talk to yourself on it. Apparently, it scatters your brain so completely that you're unaware that you're having conversations with yourself. B, you're unable to focus on one thing for any period of time. I've known several people on meth now, and worked with a majority of them, and you can't possibly do a single task while high on methamphetamine. It's just not something you do. You have to have at least 3 plates spinning, and you're on meth, so all of those plates will fall off the sticks.
I mean, at least crack keeps you motivated. You can clean. You can have a fucking clean house on crack. You can't do it on meth.
I've never seen a crackhead with a clean house. Have you?
yeah what are you talking about? You can have
that's
a clean
a genuine
house on-
thing. Have you ever not read these stories about crackheads?
So hold on. A couple of weeks ago, you were infamously beaten up by a crackhead. Was his house immaculate?
Immaculate.
Not true. Can't be true.
What a lie.
I don't believe you.
Here's the thing. I just remember with meth, it's like when I was in high school, they showed like a video of like, don't do drugs. Because like Vancouver has like a big drug problem. But like there was this one guy and like it was like, you know, him kind of, you know, sober and then him on crack and like, or on meth, sorry. And when he's on meth, he was like on the ground. He's like, like he was just like in this like fetal position. And then when they interviewed him, he's like, what was going through your head? He's like, man, I was at the best concert of my life.
That is such propaganda. That is such bullshit. Yeah.
That shit is not real. That is not what meth does.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck is this? It's like, honestly, for the school, I was like, you're making meth seem kind of cool. Like,
a free concert and all I got to do is smoke meth?
Yeah, and I'm just on the ground.
The best concert of my life?
Yeah, the best concert of my life.
This convenient glass pipe?
Yeah, just like, just in the fetal position on the sidewalk. Like, just like going, it was like, what concert was this when you were making that noise?
Rock,
it's just Radiohead. He just saw a really good Radiohead.
Yeah. He said, I'm a creep.
He was like, Tom York was really aggressive that concert.
Yeah, damn.
Meth heads will pick a fight with anybody because they get in their own head about shit and have like one of those conversations you have with yourself about how an interaction went after the fact in the present tense.
But in the moment.
In ultra rapid speed. So you're just like, is that a slide? Was that a perceived slide? I perceived that slide. He slided me. And then they start going from 0 to 100 on you. And that's when saying hi to a meth head turns into you losing your wallet. You know, do you think this dead internet theory has any credence to the theory?
What is the dead internet theory?
It's the idea that there are no real people on the internet save you and me. Or that if there are people on the internet, there are fewer people on the internet than there are AI or bot accounts.
Yeah, that we are ultimately seeding the World Wide Web to all these bots and fake interactions, and eventually people are going to be so enclosed within their own echo chambers of just content that is all you see. You're not interacting with any real people ever within an online space. Like, it's not, obviously, it's like not something that's, I don't think it's happening right now. I would like to think it's not. But at the same time, it's like, imagine you think you're like a wildly successful YouTuber and then you have like 100,000 followers on YouTube, but none of them are real. You just think you have this audience.
Is YouTube still paying me?
That would be a good question.
Yeah, because here's the thing. If YouTube's paying me, I don't give a shit.
My army of bots getting me checks.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Fun. Wonderful.
But I here's the thing. Like, I think about it sometimes of like, you think about like, say, like YouTubers or whoever with large following, like how many of those followers are dead where they're like, engagement's low? And I'm like, yeah, well, half your, you know, a quarter of your audience doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, you've been making videos since 2005, guy. Everyone's dead.
Like, I believe there are certain certain websites that are like definitely more bot driven than they are human driven. Like, I believe Twitter or X.
Twitter for sure.
Twitter, that's like 100%. A bot city. I feel like I'm fighting with bots all day.
You know what's funny is that these bots are getting more and more adept too. They comment a ChatGPT reply based on the subject matter. Like, they'll see the picture or perhaps the text. I saw one yesterday that said the don't effect brings the Coyotes back from a 3-goal deficit. And the bot replied something like, great for Josh Dome, but let's hear it for the rest of the team, huh? Hashtag team effort, hashtag stuff else. That's how you can usually tell it's a bot. They have two hashtags at the end of the
thing. Oh, that's interesting. No, I always just assumed it was a bot because it would say pussy in bio.
Yeah, that is a less sophisticated bot. We need to delineate between AI and bot quickly.
I recently read a whole article where like a reporter went down the rabbit hole to be like, what is going on with these pussy and bio accounts? And the truth is, it's pussy and bio, all right? Pussy and bio. But
what is the actual truth, though? Is it just...
They're Indian men named Harjeet trying to scam you out of credit card information. What do you mean, what is the truth? It's pretty fucking obvious.
Yeah, it's essentially that. It's basically like these basically bot farms, usually in India, sometimes Malaysia, Pakistan as well.
It's like a pig slaughtering scheme.
And, you know, it's just a credit card, like, metadata farming scheme.
A skimming scheme.
Yeah, because there's a lot of horny old people on the internet.
Oh, God, there's so many.
But I do believe, I think it depends. Like, I think Reddit is probably a little more human-generated.
I don't know. I don't know.
Can those people qualify as human?
The problem is that I think Facebook is like 50-50, but the problem is you got the oldest people on the internet like constantly like farming content there. So it's like,
and they're engaging with obviously bot driven content.
Yeah, there's like no young people, but it's like all of your like mom's friends and like your dad's friends are like people basically 50 or older. That's where they are. They gather on Facebook. Like my mom recently was like, did a thing for my grandma because it was my grandma's birthday not long ago. And she was just like, look, you got like 80 people wishing you a happy birthday. And it's like, and then my grandma would be like, who is it? And it's like, oh, it's Deborah. And it's like, my grandma would be like, who's Deborah? And it's like, oh, Deborah, she's just one of my followers on Facebook. I'm like, oh. I think it depends. But I do believe with the dead internet that you're going to end up seeing people, you know, essentially like get more siloed as more AI shows up. And as these platforms that are dying become more desperate for engagement.
So what does that mean for content creation? Obviously, it means you can't gauge an AI response between that and a human response, right? So how does that affect advertising? It basically means that these AI that are fake engaging with your bullshit do not actually drive sales. So
no, but they're still going to drive ad revenue because all companies are going to be able to see is that, oh, this user
for how long though, you know? I think this is the magic of sales too.
It's obviously like it's an Ouroboros snake eating its own tail sort of deal.
A what?
An Ouroboros.
No, Ouroboros.
Is it Ouroboros?
Yes.
I have always heard it as Ouroboros.
Ouroboros from who?
I don't know. Fucking my classics professor.
Ouroboros, more like a Robert Delilah impersonation.
I'm going to fucking get a pronunciation guide on this.
It. Pronunciation. Sorry. You might have to Ouroboros. Ouroboros.
You might be right. That would be
what
silly.
Is the meaning of this word? Because I actually, I've only heard Harper's version of it, Ouroboros, which I thought was in the solar system. It was in the stars.
No, an Ouroboros is a snake eating its own tail.
Oh. Yeah, a snake or a dragon eating
I watched
its own
a video
tail.
of a beach towel being pulled out of a cobra recently.
Ooh. Ooh. Oh,
Jesus. Did you think it was a rabbit?
No. When did you come? At what point in the video?
Right at the end.
Yeah.
Right as the
I wouldn't be able to goon through that one, buddy. I'll tell you.
Oh, man. No, I was like, what the fuck am I watching? Why are they trying to save the cobra?
Well, he's a precious creature. That's when all of God's creatures sing, Malcolm, will a cobra not be part of the choir?
Really?
Would a cobra not be part of the choir?
Sounds like a prejudice on your part, Robert, to not allow the cobra to sing with all of God's creatures.
On Noah's Ark, where were the cobras?
On board.
Ouroboros. Really? Ouroboros. That's the American pronunciation.
Oh, Robert's pulling
with the
Malcolm.
British pronunciation.
You are fucking crazy. What the fuck is wrong? We are American. Why would you use a British pronunciation even if it was different?
Listen to the...
Do you say aluminium, you fucking hack fraud?
Ouroboros.
Ouroboros.
Can you put that closer to the mic just so that Sasha can really get that?
Hold on.
Ouroboros. Ouroboros.
That's also not what you were saying.
No, I know. I know that's not what I was saying. I've always called it an Ouroboros.
It sounds like someone's flubbing the word. There's a word for that where you try to sound smarter by saying words you don't know. What is that? Because Carmine Jr. did it a lot in The Sopranos. You're making an Ouroboros statement.
It's not bombastic. God damn it. This is going to bother me.
Well, we'll get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, we got to figure this out because, you know, we got to make sure.
Say words, words you don't know the meaning of to sound smarter.
Google is just completely useless for this kind of stuff nowadays. Speaking of dead internet.
Sesquipedalian or something like that.
Sesquipedalian? Really?
Sesquipedalian.
That sounds like a fake word.
A person who uses big words to sound smart is often referred to as sesquipedalian. This comes from the Latin word sesquipedalis, which means a foot and a half long.
I think you were being fucked with.
It's just completely unrelated, but a Latin word to make you sound smarter.
Oh, fuck. Sesquipedalian. Yeah, it sounds like a word. It does sound like a
characterized word. By long words, long-winded, sesquipedalian. Okay.
Okay, so, sure, why not? There's another, I think, shorter word for this exact same thing, but...
Hold on. We'll get to the synonyms. Welcome to Sign Grammar with your host, Malcolm McLeod, Robert, Delilah, and Buck Harper. Pompous, pretentious, orotund, Faustian.
Faustian bargain. Is it Faustian?
Faustian, yeah.
Faustian bargain. A Faustian.
Faustian. Well, listen, I don't say that where it's too close to Fauci, and I don't like that Fauci ouchie, if you know what I'm talking about. Ladies and gentlemen, this is content. You've been starting content.
No worries.
Are you real?
Right back up where we started.
As podcasters, you know, I have to ask the question: Are the listeners real? Are you listening, or is this an algorithm feeding into the content so that they can get a better understanding of what the zeitgeist is?
Oh yeah, sorry, I meant to say real quick: our Malaysian viewers, please write us in and apologize for Ian Miles Chong. Thank you.
please
owe us an apology for Ian Miles Chong.
The entire world an apology for Ian Miles Chong.
Yeah, Robert, do you think you're owed an apology from a particular group of people for anything?
Some people I went to high school with, like an entire, how does define
let's
like
be more broad with it, because I'll give you an example. Okay.
Okay.
I think I'm owed an apology from the Vegas Golden Knights fans because they treated me in a very shabby way for being another team in the desert. We should be sticking together, not calling each other hack frauds with only a 5,000 seat arena. You play 10 minutes from me, my guy.
All right. I guess I have one. I want an apology from sub shops that demand a tip when I pay on the counter.
Yes.
That are not Subway. All right. I will tip artists. I'm not tipping sandwich makers.
I'm not tipping because they're sandwich artists. Malcolm, you tipped them.
That's the only distinction.
When did we start tipping for counter service?
I had no tip. I hit no tip every time because those people don't fucking deserve a tip. They're working at Subway. And here's the thing. If you want a tip from me for making me a sandwich, then do it someplace like a restaurant, not Subway. Here's the other thing. You're already charging me $6 for a 6-inch sub.
That should cover more than the material of the sub.
Listen, it's not that far since we went from the days of $5 footlongs, all right? Yeah, I'm not going like, hey, with inflation, I'm paying $8 a footlong, and now I got to tip you $3 to make you feel good. I'm not
doing
that.
If I got $6 for every 6 inches I gave out, Malcolm, I'd have $4 a night.
A night? That's, hey, you know what?
That's a good ratio.
We're busting it out.
Busting out here, boys.
I went to shout out Arizona Sandwich Shop. I was down in Tempe on business, and there is a place. There's a delicatessen, of course, and it is perfect. It is a perfect sub sandwich. The bread is hearty. The lettuce is shredded into that stringy kind of lettuce. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh,
not the Subway chop. It's like the stringy kind of like. Yeah. It's meant to go on the sub.
That's a lot of texture.
It adds a lot. The meat is piled. There's bacon, a sort of like deep mayonnaise mustard combination, not necessarily Heinz mustard. It's an actual deli mustard and an Italian sauce. This is a real sub sandwich. I will gladly pay you $11 for this. However, at Subway, it looks like they took a turd and they put it on the sandwich. Most of the time,
yeah,
they could not give a fuck. And I understand that they're not making as much money as people at an actual delicatessen, but I don't understand how these people are still in business. Those sandwiches taste like dirt.
I go to Subway mostly out of desperation or when I'm the most depressed that I've been in a while.
True.
Yeah, it doesn't help that there's also a Subway like a stone's throw from your place.
Yeah, like I live also really close to a Subway that's like, yeah, it's like half... It's not even
when you're drunk, that's got to be great, to be honest with you. That's got to be your lowest lows at the Subway when it's in walking distance. I can see it being a very aesthetic experience because you're at the counter. You can't stand up. You're like, chicken bang ranch. They're like, what? Oh, chicken. Bacon.
So 6-inch or a foot long, sir.
Long.
What kind of sauce do you want on it?
Chicken. Chicken. Bacon.
Yeah. When I was in high school, there was a Subway close to my high school. And one day you'd get bored and just try different stuff. Like someone got like all the meats and someone got all the cheeses. I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get all the sauces. So I had
sandwich
you've ever had.
It was drinking
your sandwich.
Yeah, it was horrible. Also, I didn't finish it. Obviously it was, and it was a 6-inch. I got like another, I had to get 2 6-inches because I was like, this was a bad idea.
Yes. Robert, have you thought about who owes you an apology?
Oh, yeah. My entire family tree.
Damn.
What? Wow. That's
you're taking this too personally, I feel.
Yeah. Like, you just have to pick, like, a corporation. Like, that's always fine.
A race of people. You know, anybody.
Well, I would do that.
That is the bait here. Thank you.
The bait.
Oh, God.
Why do you feel baited, Robert? That's very interesting that you would use those words.
Yeah.
No, shut the fuck up. I don't know. The entire publishing industry for being as weird and obtuse as it is to get anything read by anyone.
That's right.
And to try just to sell a story that you know is good and that every single person you've given it to has liked it. And then they're just like, well, we'll get back to you in 8 months.
Robert, I'm telling you, if you married me, you would get a story published. No problem.
Yeah.
Why? What's the thread of logic?
It's the fact that you're straight. It's killing you. It's killing you.
Yeah. You need to become a bi king. You got to be a bi king.
Bi is not committed enough. They want you taking it in the ass, I fear.
No, people hate bi people more than they hate straight people.
That's true. A bi woman, everyone's just like, ooh, she kisses girls. No, she's cheating on you, sir. That's what's happening.
So I heard a comedian do a joke where he was like, bi girls who've never been with a woman are just stolen valor. Like, that's just stolen valor. The Jeffrey Asmus joke. And it's so good.
I did know a guy. I met him like at like in college, and I think one of the very first things he said to me was that I had dick sucking lips, and it was an interesting interaction. I didn't talk to him the rest of the semester.
Was the guy shorter than you?
Yeah, he was. He was like short, but like very stocky.
But you just pat him on the head, you go, aw, and then you walk away and you never speak to him again. You make him feel as awkward as you felt.
That would fuck with him, I would say. That would fuck with him.
You know, Malcolm, I'm gonna send you to Sweden, Malcolm, because I'm tired of you always starting off with the assumption that you're taller than these people.
I am taller. I was in Sweden last year. I am taller than them.
You're just going to live amongst them.
They're going to
be patting you on the head like, ha ha, little man, you're so funny.
I mean, Malcolm is probably taller than most people in Sweden.
I am taller than most people. I went to Malmo, Sweden, and I did not encounter one person taller than me.
Malmo, that's not even really Sweden.
It is Sweden. It's on the southern part of Sweden. It's close to Denmark. Sorry, not Denmark, Copenhagen, which I guess is Denmark. But
we need to get out of Sweden. I have material here. I just can't use it.
Swedish dogs.
Stop talking about Sweden. It's making me hard.
There's a lot of fun to be had at Sweden's expense, but... not in this setting, not in this forum.
Okay.
It's not a a political podcast.
No, it's not.
No, we're not political at all.
No, absolutely.
We're like, The Rock anyway. Has actually recalled his endorsement for Joe Biden.
I saw that. I thought that was hilarious because I want to say this right now. I have an autographed photo of The Rock signed to me from his time working on Walking Tall, a movie from 2003.
You've talked about it before?
I do. I've talked about this on the podcast. Has he evolved from an actor/wrestler into just a brand/AI composite of a strongman? Absolutely. Yes, this man has nothing. All right. He's a shallow husk of a person. He is a brand.
He's a shallow husk filled with muscle.
And it was like it was funny because he teamed up with the two other guys in Hollywood that are just shallow husks of people, which are Kevin Hart and Ryan Reynolds. Like, those are the
so other. True. Those are not real people. And you know, Ryan Reynolds is an interesting case too, because Ryan Reynolds exhibited a lot of personality, and then as soon as he got into like business, it just got sucked out of him or something.
Just
like,
evaporated.
It's like he completed the 33rd degree of masonry.
He's like where Ryan Gosling is now. Like, years ago, he was where Ryan Gosling is now.
What are you talking about? Ryan Gosling is the same motherfucker. That's literally me out there. No, he is not.
Ryan Gosling has character.
I like Ryan Gosling. Ryan Gosling is very good in movies.
Literally me.
It's like
Ryan. Here's my theory with Ryan Reynolds, and I was thinking about this. I feel like Ryan Reynolds is a little less annoying version of Jimmy Fallon. Like, that's what he is.
He's just They're a better same. Looking, less annoying Jimmy you Fallon. Know,
come to think of it, if Ryan Reynolds hosted that Tonight Show, if Ryan Reynolds hosted that show, I'd probably watch it.
But content wise, it would be indistinguishable.
Could you imagine Ryan Reynolds just being like, so what is it you say you do in Hollywood? You know, just stuff like that.
He
would do the laugh, but the only thing he would do differently is that he would look directly into the camera and like talk to like break the fourth wall in an interview, being like, look at this schmo. Like,
ugh, you're right. I hate that it's right.
I think Ryan Reynolds completed the 33rd degree of masonry and then had his body swapped with like some sort of hexagonal demons. Yeah. You know,
he got out. He got whatever happened in Get Out where his brain was like removed.
Yeah, he got out. Absolutely. Because he just suddenly became adept at business and like owns multiple franchises and subcontractors, and that just happened overnight.
You just take off his like toupee and he's got a giant surgery scar.
That could have been the Senators. That really could. I really wish Ryan Reynolds bought the Ottawa Senators. That would have been such a fucking awesome deal, because then you would have seen that whole coaching debacle happen under Ryan Reynolds, and Ryan Reynolds would have had to been like, yeah, honestly, I don't understand a whole lot of what just happened here.
I just own the team, man.
Yeah, the guy that bought the team was like, I don't see why this is my responsibility. Because you bought the team.
Yeah, because you bought the team and hired the coaches. What are you fucking talking about? This
so fucking funny.
You're okay. Anyway,
you put your name on the checks, my guy. That's what's up.
That is.
So yeah, Malaysian people, Ian Miles Chong, please write us in.
Yeah, apologize.
We're going back.
The publishing
to that.
Industry, please apologize to me. And I guess what was it? Subway sandwiches. It's apology to you.
Yeah, Subway sandwiches. I'm not. Well, no. It's sub shops that aren't Subway for asking for tips. Not tipping you. I'm not tipping at Vinny's sub sandwich.
They want you to tip at Starbucks now, you know?
Yeah, I'm not tipping at Starbucks.
No,
all right?
Are you fucking you? They charge already so much.
You're high. I am not tipping you for a fucking adult milkshake or a cup of coffee.
There was a place in New York where they like it's a lemonade stand, like a high end fucking whatever lemonade stand.
Of course,
I wanted to
New
drink
York.
Something that wasn't like water with microbes in it, and I went and I got a lemonade. At a fucking stand, and it was like, oh yeah, okay, that'll be $8.65, and we're just gonna plus turn tip. This around, you press whatever you want, and the options were like 20%, 25%, and 30%.
Where's the no tip? There's always a no tip on those, right? You just didn't
look
for it,
right?
Yeah,
there was a no tip, and I fucking pressed that with eye contact, but you're not charging me $9 for a lemonade and then have me tip 30%, you piece of shit. No,
it's a fucking squeezed fruit.
Yeah,
what do you think you're doing?
You are getting is a squeezed fruit that you get out of a plastic bag that you will order from a food country out of Ohio or a company out of Ohio. Get the fuck out of here.
Generously, it's a food company out of Ohio. Assumedly, it's coming from Ottawa.
They're not taking rat milk from New Jersey, I'm sure, no, but still.
No. New Jersey.
New Jersey. You can't say that.
Freud, get out of there. Freud.
Yeah, someone just had a Freudian slip. Freudian. Yeah, listen, we're eating a lot of foods produced either by the Kellogg's Corporation or Tyson Foods.
Shut it down. He knows.
He knows.
Shut it down.
Tony.
Tony.
Oh. We don't discriminate here. We're New Jersey.
Why are you like talking like you're from the antebellum South?
You're so close to doing that.
I represent
the proud state of New Jersey.
Remember all my impressions.
You're like, we're from Jersey around here.
Don't you understand?
I am Wilton.
This flower is Wilton.
Yeah, no, my problem is that all my accents turn into foghorn leghorn like at a certain point. We've talked about it.
It does. They do.
I thought I was doing a good job too. You were, to start with.
But it always morphs into. Yeah,
it started so nicely.
I'm going to send you to an improv course where everyone has an accent but you.
Oh, God.
So you can
copy their accents. Oh, no, I don't want to go back to. Don't put me back to improv school, please. No,
you're getting dragged off.
No! Nails on the ass.
I worked in the second city. Please.
Please.
No.
Another week then. What kind of exercises do they have you do in those classes, if you don't mind my asking? Because I'm just curious. I don't give a whole lot of credence to the idea that improv classes do anything, to be honest.
There's always that. It's for me, what I feel like the improv classes are good for is you getting out of your head in terms
of your shell.
Yeah, like making sure that you're more present in the moment. Not asking questions when you're doing scenes.
What else will do that for you? A key bump of cocaine.
Or growing up as somebody who's desperate for the attention of their friends and their parents' friends.
Getting traumatized at an early age will make you great at improv.
Oh, it'll make you great at comedy in general. It doesn't matter if it's improv or sketch or podcasting or stand-up.
I couldn't stand silence at an early age, so I just sort of went with it.
Did you say not asking questions during scenes?
Yeah, exactly. I did say that. I'm glad you picked up on it.
That's funny.
Yeah, no, but it's so funny, yeah, because there's a lot of different kinds. There's just a lot of fun formats and all that stuff, too. But I would say that, I don't know, improv, it's just for me, it was really good. It's also great for writing, just not get precious with ideas. Like, if I'm being a little sappy, it's just like allowing just things to happen and then being okay with that.
Yeah,
and then there's stuff like long form heralds. Basically, it's just the format of a sitcom. But yeah, I'm boring. Harper's now walked out of frame. So
just letting his dog in and out of his room. Yeah.
My dog saw someone outside and I had to stop him from barking. That would have been Sasha up my ass about my dog. He's told me to get rid of him a couple times now.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, Sasha,
producer Sasha. He's like, I don't want that dog in that recording.
I don't want that dog in you or in that recording. He says, don't you forget, you're not the star of this show. It's Robert Delisle.
I don't think anyone said that.
I'm
not the star
of this show. I'm star of whatever.
I don't think anyone said that.
I certainly wouldn't have fingered Robert.
I wouldn't have said that. No, I just want to say right now, I wouldn't have said that. That's what the people are saying. It's not me who's saying this, all right? It's the people.
Some very smart people, okay? So saying Robert's not the star.
If I'm the star of this show, it's because Sasha likes to make me the target of all humiliation.
That makes you the star, in a way.
The star of, like, what, a tragic...
Carl Pilkington is the star of the Ricky Gervais show, you know?
Yeah.
I guess Truman is the star of the Truman show.
I wouldn't put yourself... That's kind of grandiose, don't you think?
Grandiose?
It's grandiose, wouldn't you say?
Grandiose. Oh, we got these Rocky grandiosters in here.
Shut the fuck up. Shut your fucking mouth.
Shut up. You look like Tony Soprano's nephew who instead of got into heroin, got into Magic the Gathering. Get the fuck out of here.
You look like No.
What the fuck are you talking about?
No, Robert. He looks like AJ's like friend who like is like who sells him like marijuana, but it's actually just oregano because he's too stupid.
He does kind of look like that. From if we're talking strictly Sopranos.
You look like you sold your underbite for forehead money, Robert. I wouldn't keep talking if I was you. You shop at Wild West Outlet, so I don't need to hear it, frankly. DSL.
Yeah, you look. Harper looks like he was supposed to be in Christopher Moltisanti's horror movie, but like he lost the part because he just wasn't.
Couldn't slim down. It's a big problem.
He really couldn't cut it at the last second. He wasn't really happy about having to kiss another character on screen.
You want to talk about roast, Robert? Your knees look funny.
That's such an easy thing to say.
You can say that. I got a million of these. Hold on.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Your knees look funny. You walk bad.
I do. Posture's terrible sometimes.
Your eyebrows are unkempt.
Oh, I love my eyebrows.
What are you saying? He's got good eyebrows. He's got.
You're hyper aware of your elbows at all times, I noticed.
Don't do that.
Oh, that's actually a great little bit there. My elbows.
No, not my elbows.
The breathing manually bit. You guys have been hit by that one before, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah. I've been hit by it right now.
<Thank God. laughs> What about your tongue resting comfortably in your mouth? Has anyone ever told you that your tongue?
I thought about that right as you said it. Harper's waging psychological warfare against us.
You're now blinking manually too. See, it's rough out here for everybody who can do that.
Yeah,
you just lost the game, listener.
You recognize that your toes have never been less comfortable in the shoes you're wearing.
Wearing shoes indoors, nasty work. Yikes. Nasty work. That
nasty.
Nasty feet you have.
You're now wondering whether you wiped well enough in the last time you went to the bathroom.
You know what? I'm going to ask if we got into feet here before, but I know we have. So I'm going to say, have we gotten to feet before, Sasha? And just say yes, and we'll move on.
Yes.
We'll just move on from that. Armpits. What's up with those guys?
Now, hold on.
Oh, we can't. We can't. Please. I'm not doing
no more.
Is there not a crevice you won't fuck, Harper? Please.
There's no depth I won't stoop to.
Holy shit. Yeah. Every fold. It's all fair game.
Ladies, if you're fucking huge, hit me up because there's a couple things I wanted to try.
Harper, just a couple things.
It's infectious.
So we're saying this. Robert's looking for his foot job queen, and Harper's looking for his BBW.
I'm an international man of mystery.
What are you looking for, Malcolm? Any kind of relationship whatsoever?
Yeah, I'm just looking. You know,
you try a white girl this time.
Yeah, you got me. So I gotta keep it. Gotta keep it within the stuff.
I was gonna read a user submission. I think that's a good.
I was gonna talk about my grandma. My grandma broke three ribs.
Yeah. Oh Jesus!
Yeah,
I'm sure you're fine.
Yeah, you know, I'm fine. I mean, yeah, my wrists are a little sore from pushing her, but that's about it.
Poor you.
No.
I would love if you just turned this about yourself. Your grandma falls and you're just like, "She's really tough on me." I've had to call her. My phone's run out of battery a couple times, not because my phone battery is low.
Here's the thing. So my grandma broke her hip about a year and a half ago from a fall in a parking lot. And since then, she's like moved to a retirement home. But recently, in the last about 3 months, she clearly needs like either a cane or a walker to get around. But my grandma likes to do this thing where she doesn't use either, but like holds on to like the wall or like grabs on the corners of tape. Yeah, and she waddles like a little like penguin. It's just like a baby walking for the first time. It's insane. And she also like sits in
insanely
this
insanely entertaining.
It's very entertaining. But one of the things is on Christmas this year.
What do you mean it's entertaining? That's not funny.
It's not. It's genuinely not.
Increasingly immobile. What the fuck do you mean it was funny? You're a bad grandson.
That's terrible. Shame on you.
Yeah,
he, shame on you, Robert.
He trained his wrist in that push. I don't know how he hurt himself pushing like a 70-pound woman, but
well, Jesus. she was holding onto my arm for dear life when I was.
She was holding onto my free weights.
Yeah, her nails were digging into my arm. I had to get her off me.
Yeah, I told
her, Grandma, I'm in the middle of a workout. If you're gonna help, help.
I said, I told my grandma, I was like, Grandma, you gotta fall. I need content for the podcast. You know, she's like, okay, anything for my just favorite for grandson. And she went, she fell down. She was like, oh,
yeah, exactly like that.
I don't know.
But, like, I don't
know. You weren't even there.
Well, I was there in spirit.
You were there. You were standing right there, and you asked her to fall. And she was like, I don't know, Malcolm. I'm a little afraid. And you said, no balls, Grandma. No balls.
Yeah.
What if I don't get back up this time, Malcolm?
Well, I told her, bitch, you got to have that life alert on you, all right?
You got to keep that motherfucking thing on you,
she
Grandma.
She got that motherfucking thang on her.
You gotta use that
motherfucking
John
thang on her, just holding the life alert little tag.
She fell in the bathroom, but before that we got her an Apple Watch. She was refusing to wear the Apple Watch. She falls, breaks her three ribs. she gets up. So this is the thing. She breaks her ribs like in the night. It's her birthday. She doesn't tell anyone that she's broken her ribs. So she like gets my mom to come and like get her for lunch. She's like, I want to go to Sears. She's like, I'm going to Sears. Like, we're doing a Sears trip today. I don't care. But the whole time she's like really upset. She also
like moaning in pain.
Yeah,
in the car seat.
Exactly. And like the other thing is she's like, I'm getting Botox today as well. She was like, I'm insisting on the Botox.
What? Why the fuck is you getting Botox so for, she, man?
Because she's 81 and she wants to look younger. So she, first of all, my mom.
I get it, but your back's broken. You can tell. You can tell that kind of thing.
Well, that's it. So my mom's going like, what the fuck? And she's like, we got to go. We have to go. Like to like between things. Between
things. That's insistent.
And the thing is like on a normal day, my grandma also has like a rolling scooter. And like on like a good day, she'll like be on the scooter and she'll be fucking racing down sidewalks. Like you have to run after her on like busy days. We're like, Grandma. And it was funny, my cousins who live in Seattle, when they came up to visit her, they didn't know that she does this. And like all of a sudden she like takes off and me and my sister are around where we're just standing there being like, they're gonna chase after her. Like, I'm not doing it this time. We just walked. But that's a side note. But she was so funny was that she got the Botox. She goes and she's like all in all this pain. She's like, I want to go home now. But she was like, I have to. She's like, but before I go into the retirement home, I have to wear these giant sunglasses. She has like these giant shades that cover half her face. And she apparently told my mom that she looked at him and was like, I have to wear my sunglasses because I don't need the bitches at this retirement home knowing that I got Botox.
That's insane. What the fuck? What kind of Joneses is your grandma keeping up with at age 70?
I don't know. Like, it was
I don't need these bitches knowing that I have beeswax in my lips.
So she does that, and then the next day is when I get a phone call being like, your grandma can't get out of bed. And then that's when we realize,
also, I think she got Botox.
she looks like she's been stung by bees.
So the other thing is she starts peeing and there's like some redness in the blood, and the whole thing was she had a beet salad before, like the day before, and blueberries, and every time anyone was to address it, she would just go, I was eating beets, I was having blueberries, I a cup of blueberries. I'm like, I've eaten a lot of blueberries in my life. I've never peed red.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never eaten beets like that. But
I peed red with beets. I will say
with,
that.
With beets makes sense. But then that's when they were like, okay, so you have this, clearly have this rib injury. That's when she discloses she fell the day before. And then she's like, okay, so it could have punctured something. So luckily I had to go and get her to the hospital, carried with the paramedics and stuff. And yeah, now she's like, the thing is, she had to put it like this, like epidural in her back to like help with the pain meds, pain management. And she thinks she's going to get out. They put this in yesterday of the recording. She thinks she's going to be done by the end of the weekend, recording this on a weekend. No. And she, and I'm like, you're not going to be out of the hospital for like potentially 2 or 3 weeks. Like, it's 3 broken ribs at 81. Like, what are we talking about here?
Yeah. She's like, she didn't break in her hip again. And
the other thing was, she kept telling me, she was like, I'm charging the Apple Watch. I've got the Apple Watch. I go in to like check where the Apple Watch is. She has paid such little attention to the Apple Watch that she didn't realize that someone stole the charger for the Apple Watch and replaced it with a charger that didn't work. So I had to go buy a new charge. I had to buy like 3 chargers for her.
So she could keep the watch charged. Oh,
so yeah, because she like needed a one to charge her iPad.
Bravo, Vancouver. Her stealing Apple Watch chargers from helpless old ladies.
Yeah.
Par for the course.
I thought it was
Vancouver, BC.
Yeah. I thought it was hilarious that they stole the watch charger, but not the watch itself. Like, it was just
yeah,
like,
that was kind of lazy. Well, because they're identified.
Yeah. I guess it's like these chargers are like 35, you know, to 50.
Yeah, they're
bucks,
not cheap.
So
like,
all right. So that makes sense.
So it's like, oh, that's a fair thing to swipe. But it was weird that so that's my grandma saga. I was just like, what is going on? She's
next
really
time on Malk and Ball Z.
She's so funny because she got mad because the day we got her to the hospital, she's like, I'm so upset. Today was going to be the greatest day of watching TV this yet. And I was like, what was on TV? She's like, oh, all the Chicago shows are back. Chicago Med, Chicago Fire.
Yeah.
It was like, are you kidding Chicago me? Fire.
I
was
like, I'm basic as fuck.
Oh, no.
Did you know that there's a show called FBI International?
I did know.
I've heard of it. I haven't watched it.
Doesn't make any sense as a premise, but sure.
Yeah, no, because it's called the FBI is the Federal Bureau of Investigations. Why would that be international? The international section is CIA. Like, that's what it is.
Not necessarily. I think that there is actually an international arm to the Federal Bureau of Investigations.
I'm sure there is.
That's an
to make an entire show out of it for something that's probably they just get told to fuck off by the CIA.
A government alphabet agency is not hyper concerned with your semantics games. They're going to do whatever they can to grab more power.
Sure, sure.
I guess. I was just more surprised that this show has like FBI International has like already over 100 episodes and I couldn't tell you a single thing about the show.
Wow, I didn't even know this existed.
We're back to the dead internet theory. People are just watching shows that no one else like has seen.
Oh yeah,
that's possible.
That's definitely it. I definitely believe there's like dead shows.
That would be the total complete circle, wouldn't you think? Where these producers are making like fucking farm content for streaming platforms that no one's actually watching, but they're still getting paid the dill for it.
Oh, I mean, that's gonna happen eventually. Yeah. I mean, money's fake.
I think it's happening.
We're in the process.
Robert's always thinking we're almost there or we're in the process. My man, the draft is ongoing. We're going to war.
Here's the thing. I think you can say that there's too many people who are too fat to go to war, but there's also too many people being like, I'm depressed, I can't go.
Let's anyway. I'm gonna read a user submission.
Pick a good one this time.
Fuck off.
As if there were any. Just kidding. We love you out there in podcast land. I think I'm a latent homosexual.
Here's a user submission from someone who'd like to be known as Vinny. Their song recommendation is Lucky Man by The Verve. And their question is, what's more embarrassing, seeing your mom at the strip club or being present at a declined marriage proposal in public? Let me read that again.
Definitely seeing your mom at the strip club. What kind of fucking question is that?
Well, hold on. So
let me read that one more time. What's more embarrassing, seeing your mom at the strip club or being present at a declined marriage proposal in public?
Seeing your mom at a strip club.
I guess here's the thing. When you say seeing your mom at the strip club, is she just there as a patron or is she one of the strippers?
They don't.
Either way you spin this, it's worse.
What?
Absolutely worse. Because at a declined public marriage proposal, let's assume that you know them, okay?
Sure.
This is the worst case scenario.
You're the guy holding in the balloons in the background.
Yeah, you're his best buddy and this was your idea and he's doing it.
Central Park. They just got through a wonderful day in New York City.
In that case, you just have to coach your friend off a ledge at the worst, right? Just have to stop him from killing himself. which you can do reasonably within a couple of days. However, you see your mom at a strip club, suddenly you're responsible for not killing yourself.
And it's hard to convince yourself. And I can't be responsible. And someone else. Different.
Yeah. I mean, have I talked about it on the podcast that I did witness a failed marriage proposal?
Was it public?
I think I might have back in the earlier days of this podcast where I was doing a show and there was some people in the audience, and they were doing they had set up the boyfriend, I'm going to say boyfriend, had set up with the theater that he was going to do this proposal, and he wanted us to be part of the show to like get her to propose. And he had already arranged like champagne and cake for after the show as the celebration. And we're doing the show, and it's like going like, it's a good show. But like midway through the show, it's this thing of like, oh, we need an audience volunteer. It's an improv show. And we source out the guy, and he's like, oh, hey, we bring him up, and, you know, we talk a little with him. And then, you know, he goes, it's like, we need a second volunteer. And like the guy goes like, oh, my girlfriend, you know, again, we know the setup. He comes, pulls him up, and we go and we're doing the scene. It's like this thing of like, we're scene painting, and the guy's supposed to be the hero. And the whole scene ends with the marriage proposal. Like, he gets down on one knee. She's like, oh, what? And then, like, and this is like a sold out show. There's like 250 people there.
Oh, Christ.
And he pulls out the real ring to go and like propose to the girl. And it was, the girl's face was like, what are you doing? Then I realized very quickly, oh shit, she's gonna say no. I'm just standing there. I'm like, oh no. And she like basically like says, no. I can't, not right now. And then she walked out. She like just leaves, and then it's like we're all standing there like, oh my God, like this is horrific. And then he like kind of follows her out, and then we have to do another hour worth of show.
Wait, you didn't save it to the end?
Malcolm's found a way
no.
to make this worse on himself.
Yeah,
on
the I mean, this is a job, so at least like I'm like, no, you know, no thing harm for me. But the worst part was, so they like talk for a little bit, and then they came back into the theater to sit and watch the rest of the show, which was honestly the worst thing they could have done.
That's flooring me.
They should have just left.
Just leave.
Well, I was living with the front of house because I was like, why the fuck did you let them back in? Like, I would have been like, you can't come back in. We'll refund, like, whatever. Don't let them back in. Because everyone knew they were there as well. Like, it was very obvious. Yeah, it was a
planned operation.
At that point, you got a riff, right? Did you riff?
Yeah, we were riffing.
Did you fucking tear into them?
No, I didn't.
Absolutely. Because, no, okay.
How'd you not?
Well, I wanted to. I will say this. Because they're
there. You can't make fun about it in the rest of the audience.
I wanted to. I personally wanted to. But, like, I wasn't the host of the show, so I
felt like. Who's the host? Blast him. Name him.
Yeah. I forget who the host was.
All right, we'll just say nondescript. Check this out. Hey, host of that shit, get real.
Yeah, pussy. Honestly, get real. You fucking
get real.
You fucking
that was prime time, A grade stuff that you threw out for my buddy.
That made and everyone else feel awkward.
So for me, I want to say that and that was horrible. But the fun thing was afterwards, because there's all this like, they opened the the guy had like insisted to open the champagne before. So there was all the champagne and cake. So after the show, I just drank his champagne with the rest of the cast.
That is so rough. Chugging
champagne from the bottle in the backstage.
Yeah, we were just chilling in the green room doing that. I was like, it was fun. Like, that was like the gluttony was fun of it. But my God, that hour of doing the show afterwards, and the moment was horrible.
I can't believe you didn't save it. This is kind of your fault. You did not save that.
I'm not the host of the show. I was just performing in it. This is not my fault. I didn't save it.
Audience participation. Audience participation.
I think because the idea was, because he had also implied that she was going to say yes, that she was in on this as well, that like it was supposed to be like set up.
Why would she be in on it?
Well, because you know
how it's not a surprise public proposal.
Yeah. Anymore. Well, I think because there was
a misunderstanding, miscommunication.
There's definitely miscommunications, but I will say that there's sometimes I've heard with other couples that like sometimes they'll hint at like, I want it to be like a public proposal. Like, I want it like, you know, I want the like the attention.
But she was probably thinking like park or theme park, and he got improv show.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, honestly, if I was proposed to at an improv show, I might have said no too. Like, Yeah, no. So that was it. So I, when I think of that question, I honestly get flashbacks, and I'm a little like, yeah, PTSD on that situation. So I have to go, and I probably have to pick my mom at the strip club. I'd rather relive.
Yeah. Just you've experienced it once in some form. You're just like, oh, let's try.
The idea is that your mom is a dancer, right?
I think so, but at the same time, your mom could just be there at like a bachelorette party or something.
Yeah, I feel like I'd be okay. Why would
you, what the fuck kind of bachelorette is? Why are you at the same kind of strip club that your mom would be going to for a bachelorette party, Robert? Lesbian
bachelorette party?
Yeah. Maybe it was just having a very strange Tuesday.
Maybe I wanted to see a little dick tonight. Shut the hell up.
Maybe I want to listen to the thong song in a radically different connotation.
What would you do if your mom was dancing at the strip club? Answer truthfully.
I'd walk out. I'd like any other person in the world. I'd just leave. I'd leave. Brain would just make it really public.
I would take a few of some of the money that's on the stage and say, Mom, that's my allowance money for the day. I'm going.
I'm keeping my mouth shut and leaving.
Yeah.
Good way to get bounced.
Yeah. Oh, Mom, that's why you said the buffet here was so good. I didn't realize you work here.
You're getting bounced and you're like, really, Mom? Special Uncle Tim?
If you had a conversation with your mom where she extolled the virtues of a strip club buffet and you didn't immediately clock in that she was dancing there, that's on you. That is
what if she was the owner? Like, what if she was like the owner?
That's different if she's the owner.
Like, because like I feel like, because there's a strip club in Vancouver called Brandy's, and it's literally owned by a woman named Brandy.
Different.
So it's that's different, because then it becomes family business, and you're like, oh, well, she's not stripping.
But then you know to find your mom there.
Yeah, you would be like, I'm not going to Brandy's. My mother works there.
Are you trying Brandy. To make this not awkward?
There's no way this isn't awkward. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's going to be awkward, but it's like, I think there's a little bit of like, if she was just a patron there, I'd be like, okay, I can deal with this.
Like if your mom's getting a lap dance and she's like, Malcolm, what are you doing here?
What about your dad?
Cheeks in the face.
What if it was your dad?
What's the song that your mom's listening to? What's the song the lap dance is happening to?
Girlfriend. By what's her name? Don't you wish your girlfriend was hot like me? That one.
What about like Milkshake?
Yeah, Milkshake is a pretty common one.
You know what? That's even more embarrassing, because then you at least you kind of wish your mom had a little more taste.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, I just noticed this. Have you noticed that roller rink music and strip club music is almost like one-to-one?
No. When was the last time you were at a roller rink and or strip club?
When was the last time you were at a strip club?
That's a good question. I've only been like once or twice, and I didn't stay long, because it's not my scene, ladies and gentlemen. Not my scene.
Yeah.
Not comfortable getting a boner in front of other men. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, 100%. Are you?
Yes, I'm very comfortable with that.
We need an off ramp. Okay, just to answer this for Vinny, I think I'd prefer to be part of the public proposal refusal. That's what I personally would want to have happen. I don't think I could handle the latter, especially since my mom's like 60.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fair.
Harper.
So I'll draw this line. If you know the guy that's proposing, the only way that I could possibly conceive this being more embarrassing than seeing your mom at a strip club, regardless of the circumstances, is if you suggested to make a public proposal.
Ooh, so it's all on your ass.
If it's your fault. Yeah, if it's all your fault, that's very embarrassing. That you've ruined his life.
Oh, yeah, I might actually kill myself if that happened.
Oh, what sad little games we play.
What do you want? What is it? What do you want from me?
Answer the question, for real.
Truthfully, like, not the joke answer, I don't know if I want to relive the failed marriage proposal again. I'd probably just deal with my mom at the strip club. I think that'd be a little less awkward. I also just wouldn't be that surprised.
To see your mom at a strip
Jesus
club?
Christ, Malcolm.
Oh, you can't say that.
I mean, listen, I come from like stock where my dad ran casinos. Like, this is not a world in which he's from
some grimy stock.
Yeah, I'm from, yeah, like my, you know, carnies, like all that shit. Like I'm just kind of desensitized to
when
it.
When he says he's got roots in show business.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever go see that wrestling show, by the way? You're talking about SmackDown coming to Vancouver, and you said that you're thinking
about
it.
Did you ever see it? Well, it was, you know, it was past 9:30. Producer Sasha couldn't make it.